Welcome back to Coast Friday Night Open Lines. It's the best night of the week. But check this out. In a bizarre segment from Nicaraguan television, a woman recalled how she had been kidnapped for nearly a week by goblins when she was a child. Sharing the incredible story with Canal 10, the woman named Jasmina claimed that the incident occurred when the entity suddenly appeared one day and just began playing with her. Check out the full story right now over at coasttocoastam.com. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. It's Friday night. It's Open Lines. We're going to go to Amanda in South Bend next. Stay with us. All right. Welcome back to Coast to Coast AM. And I'm going to go straight to Amanda in South Bend, Indiana. Amanda, welcome to Coast to Coast.
Thank you, Jimmy, for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I was wanting to comment on Captain K's interview with you this evening.
Sure.
I think you asked him a very astute question, and maybe you weren't even aware when you asked him. As a pilot, you would think he would know exactly how many people would have been on that craft he supposedly was piloting.
Right.
And he could not give you a specific answer.
Right.
That kind of sent a red flag up to me. But the question I had, and since you've spoken to him a couple of times, if he is a cloned clone of himself, can he reproduce himself? Can he reproduce children? Is he married? I'm curious about that. He doesn't seem to have any joy in his life either when you talk to him. Do you notice that?
Well, that's a very, very interesting observation. And I'm going to say this. When I have seen the things, Amanda, that I have seen, not a tremendous amount, but at least I've been lucky enough to have witnessed some things that are just absolutely nuts, right? And I just can't explain. And so if I know that something like that is going on, and I listen to Randy speak and have him say this one thing, that he was taken from his room and placed back into his room 20 years later, and boom, nobody knew, you know, anything for the better, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he gets up and he looks in the mirror and looks at himself and says, was all of that a dream? Well, now we're asking him, and that's a pretty amazing statement if you just take it at those words right there at face value. Because now other listeners, I'm getting email, I'm getting texts, I'm getting tweets, right? That are saying, you know, he's not remembering correctly. He's not answering correctly. He's being vague. Well, you have to understand that this is all recalled stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I've never been through that. All I can do is put myself in his position and try to imagine what it must actually be like if I was in that position. That's all I can do.
The only thing, Jimmy, that I would say, I was in the Air Force for 4 years.
Right.
And he doesn't have a lot of military bearing. He doesn't conduct himself like a Marine would conduct himself.
Right.
And those are just things that I'm curious about. I'm not saying that he didn't go to Mars. I'm not saying that he didn't go to the moon. He may well have done that. He may well be part of MK Ultra or something you also brought up, where he is under total mind control. We don't know.
Well, that's true. But Amanda, also, I think we're looking at it a little bit too directly. In that, our only reference to, like yourself, you were in the Air Force, is that we only can relate to stuff in this reality.
Mm-hmm.
What people are like, what you are like in the military, how you act after you retire, your medal, you know, and the way that you speak and so forth. He was taken away and then brought back and placed here. And so when he woke up out of his bed, he had the memories, but he wasn't the military guy. You know, he's not the guy in the first person in the military that we know, like my father. My father, after he left the military, couldn't stop military speak. You know what I mean? Every form had a number. Everything had something to it, right? And codes. And that's the military, and I get that. But that's not who we're talking about here. We're talking about somebody that is removed from another place and another time.
Mm-hmm. When you speak to him, Jimmy, does he indicate how old he is? He doesn't sound very old.
Right, and he doesn't look very old either.
I don't know.
Yeah, and I asked him that question earlier this week. I don't know if it was direct or indirect when I asked him his age, but I think he said he was around 37.
Mm-hmm.
Now, isn't that an interesting thing to say?
It is.
Right? So,
especially for somebody who had a career of 20 years.
Right. And so, because that was at 17 and add 20 to that, and it's around 37, and he started speaking about this in 2014. This is 2016, and his guess is around 37.
Mm-hmm. But
isn't that an interesting response? Well, to me, that's something I would almost expect somebody like that to say.
Well, I enjoyed the interview. I heard him when he was on Clyde Lewis's show, too.
Right.
His answers were very similar, but...
Well, why would they be different today?
Exactly. So that lends some credence to what he's saying.
Sure, sure.
But I enjoyed it. I enjoyed your program, and I do like the bumper music, too.
Amanda, you know, my grandparents and parents are from South Bend. Have you ever met them?
No.
I'm just kidding.
I live about a mile from Notre Dame. So.
Yeah, so were they. They were on Union Avenue.
Really?
Yep. There you go. You have a great, safe night, Amanda.
Thank you, Jimmy, too.
Thank you so much. Let's go to Jeff right out here in Culver City, California. Jeff, welcome to Coast.
Hello, Jimmy. Once again, man, how you doing?
I'm doing good, Jeff. Once again, how are you?
Yeah, I'm doing cool, man. Hey, yeah, early in the program, you know, you and Mr. Kramer, I think his name was, briefly mention something about genetic cloning or clones.
Yes.
Now, I've always believed that our military and perhaps other countries' military apparatus systems, you know, have somehow discovered or figured out a way to artificially reproduce, you know, the fundamental essence of real humans. You know, there was a man, I vaguely remember his name, Jimmy, but I think his name was Claude Berhelion. And his second in command of what is known as the Raelian movement, her name was Brigitte Bousselier. And I remember that both of these individuals had claimed that they reproduced or created a human baby using the genetic cells or makeup from either elderly people or the DNA, which came from old dead corpses. You know, my question is this, Mr. Jimmy, do you believe that this group of the Raelians or other groups, you know, similar to them, including our own government, have figured out a way to reproduce what seems to be or appears to be human beings, you know, and or perhaps be the hybrids genetically engineered and created in underground or undersea laboratories, and that these beings are just now starting to appear and walk amongst us, the populace, you know, and the American population and other, you know, countries' populations. And I take you guys to answer off there, and you have a great
week. No, you can't take it off the air. I'm not going to let you, Jeff. Okay, do you want the long?
I'll hang around. Okay.
Do you want the long answer or the short answer?
Either one.
Okay, the short answer is yes. Okay, the long answer to that is if I said no, now we are in dangerous territory. If I would sit here and say, no, there is no way, nothing like that has ever gone on, it's impossible, absolutely not. That's in dangerous territory. So I would have to say that there is something going on. I don't necessarily know what it is, but there is definitely something going on. And once we cross that line, which I think that we have, everything counts. All the chips are in the middle of the table.
Okay,
you have to consider everything.
Okay, but check this out, Jimmy. Have you ever seen that film called They Live?
Love it.
The late Roddy Piper?
Roddy Piper? It's a documentary, man.
Hey, you know, that movie tripped me out. And it was filmed here in Los Angeles.
Sure was.
It's ironic.
Yep.
It's so coincidental because we have this so-called gentrification going on where all these new buildings are going up all downtown and in Koreatown and Mid-City and Mid-Wilshire. And they're talking about what to do with the homeless, which are mostly black people laying all in the street and all that. But we got all these strange-looking people who get all these places to live and, you know, don't nobody know where they come from or whatever. They got all this money. You know, I mean, I'm not, you know, hating on anybody, you know, about what they got or what kind of money they got or whatever. But, I mean, something very strange going on, and I can't figure it out. You know, and I think of that movie They Live with Roddy Piper about These people, if you put on these strange sunglasses, you can see what they really are. You know, those who can really understand this kind of stuff.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I love the movie, and I'm not kidding. I think it's a documentary. But putting that aside, you don't even need those glasses. You don't,
agree,
you know, Jeff, just squint your eyes a little bit is all you got to do. And keep doing it, my friend. All right? Thank you so much. We'll see you tomorrow night on the show.
All right.
You got it. Jeff in Culver City. Great conversation. All right, let's go to Modesto, California. I guess we're going to stay on this coast. We're going to go west of the Rockies. Robert in Modesto, you're up next.
Hello, Mr. Church.
Hello, Robert.
I accept everything your guest said as the truth, which means that we could be in danger of having enemies of the what are those people called?
Well, Robert, you need to stay with me. Are you okay?
I'm okay.
Okay. You want to know the enemies, you mean outside, off planet?
No, enemies on Earth.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm with you. I mean, so what's your question, though, Robert? Do you have a question?
Are we at war with them here?
Ah, now that's a good question. Well, I'll tell you what. I think there was a bit of evidence here that we can't ignore. And we have so much testimony out there from, you know, like Phil Schneider, who's no longer with us. And I was talking to Anthony Sanchez the other day about this, too. And every time that I speak with somebody or I read something, and I know what I know privately that I don't talk, you know, about, and I start to see the connections of the dots and the correlations between different experiences out there that are related to me, that I just feel like there is something that we just don't know about. And that's the interesting part for me. Are we ever going to find out? Yeah, absolutely. Hopefully sooner than later, and hopefully it's going to be something that we can actually deal with as a country and as a planet. Let's go to east of the Rockies. Let's go to Paul in Scranton, PA. Paul, welcome to Coast. Paul, are you there? Okay. Paul, are you there?
Yes, can you hear me?
Okay, we got you now.
Okay. What I was going to say is about your previous guest that was on. I was listening to you saying that, you know, the best thing to do is to keep an open mind, but I have a hard time doing that for the simple reason that fellow that was on, that captain in the Marines, there would be so many people involved with all of the operations that he was talking about, that somebody else in the meantime would have came forward, or bunches of people would have came forward with the same kind of stories if it was true that he was telling on your show. And no one else, I haven't heard any other stories coming out. Nothing has been in the paper, the newspaper. Nothing has been on the television, any other talk shows or anything. Because there'd be hundreds or maybe thousands of people involved with those kind of operations and off-world operations and everything.
Well, how so, though? How so? Let me ask you this, Paul. When the Manhattan Project for the atomic bomb was going on for years, of which there was 150,000 people in employ, that was kept completely secret. You didn't know. Your neighbors didn't know. No, absolutely nobody knew about the atomic bomb. But yet there was 150,000 people involved. How come nobody spoke then? How was that kept a secret?
Well, I that's a good question. I have to agree with you there. But how was this kept a secret too then?
Same way. Yeah. You're working for the government, and you're told to not speak about it. And I'll give you another example. If you live in Scranton, Pennsylvania, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. In your neighborhood, how many people are in the military in your neighborhood right now?
None that I know.
None. Exactly my point. So you're not talking to anybody in the military. You know, right. That's it. It's the way that it's not like you can go across the street and knock on the colonel's door and say what's going on. And yeah. So the people that are in the military live on military bases. Some live off base. All right. It happens. But by and large, they stay in their own community. They're not hanging out in Scranton, Pennsylvania, you know, talking. So when you say, how can they keep it? I don't even understand the question. Of course they can. It's their job. It's their job. When it goes to not only something like this or any exotic weapons or the stealth 117 bomber. We didn't even know that thing existed until it flew in Iraq. You know, so we just need to be very careful about making these kinds of accusations when we know that there are secrets right now that would blow your mind if you knew them. And that's just the way it is. And it's better that it's kept secret. So, no, I just don't buy into that. I know what it's like to try and keep a secret. So there you go. Right. Thank you for the question, though, Paul. And listen, that's an obvious thing for everybody to ask. And it's an honest question. And I really appreciate it. But I just tried to give you another way to kind of look at it. Okay.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, Paul. Have a great, safe night. We'll see you tomorrow night right here on Coast. And do we have time for one more? Dan says yes. Let's go to Betty in New England. Betty, welcome to Coast. Betty, are you there? No, we lost Betty. Okay. Let's go to Wild Card. Jeff in Juneau, Alaska. Jeff, welcome to Coast. Am I losing? I don't know what's going on. I've got Jeff dialed. Jeff, are you there? Okay. Wow. Something's going on with our phone systems. I'm going to keep going right down the line. Let's go to Elliot in Phoenix, Arizona. Elliot, welcome to Coast.
Hi. How are you doing?
I'm doing good, Elliot.
Well, I've had a reoccurring dream of a bully who had bullied me pretty bad in my dreams. And recently I got a new boss about 3 months ago. And when I was introduced to my boss, it was that actual bully. And that freaked me out.
Explain.
Well, it's a woman. And I'm 6'1", and I work out six times a week. And she's actually 6'7", and she lifts weights as well.
Very interesting. You know, Elliot, I need you to stay right there. I want you to finish this thought right after the break. This is Coast to Coast AM. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. It's Friday night, taking your calls. It's called Open Lines, and more of that is going on next. Stay with us. All right, welcome back to Coast to Coast. It's Friday night, taking your calls for the rest of the evening in just a minute. And I just want to remind everybody that I have a show. It's called Fade to Black. It's very simple. Go and click on my name at Coast to Coast. Take you over to the website. All the information that you need about the show is there. But the cool thing about the show is that if you enjoy Coast to Coast, you'll enjoy Fade to Black. And it's on right before George. So you get yourself 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 hours of conspiracy and paranormal and health and consciousness all in one night. Just go and click on my name over at Coast to Coast. And you can also follow me on Twitter at JChurchRadio. All right, I'm going to get all of your calls in yet tonight. And Tim in Hendersonville, North Carolina, you're up next. Stay with us. All right, welcome back to Coast. And as promised, I'm going to try to get everybody in here before the end of the show. Let's go to the first-time caller line. Tim in Hendersonville, North Carolina, you're up next.
Thank you.
Welcome to the show, Tim.
Yes, sir. Just a couple of quick ones to address your previous guest. I detected resentment through his entire delivery. You can tell he's angry under the surface, and whether it really happened or not, I'm no reason to doubt him. I listen to the whole thing, and the resentment factor figures in that here they've asked him to do yet another thing. And he's not happy with them plucking him from his life and calling on him for this and that and putting him through what rejuvenation over and over, and he touched on it by saying, looking in the mirror and not knowing. He didn't finish the sentence, if you'll notice.
But yeah, that's right. That's right.
What came out, what was coming was what he was trying to say, was he didn't know who he was anymore. And for someone to call on you and to expect so much from you, and then the last little bit of you you have, they want to take from you and make you go and take, suffer the ridicule of this story, which may or may not be, this may be a false flag, and his part of the story be real and true, that he's been taken and put through all this. I mean, you know, Hitler wasn't a newcomer to brainwashing, and advanced it very well, and we got a lot of his people running my government now, you know, and doing subversive things like that. So
Well, and thank you, and Tim, I really appreciate the insight and the way that you're looking at it too, as well, because I think we all are, and I really appreciate the phone call, because there is a little bit of that negativity and resentment that is there. Also, I think we all need to realize, What's in it for Randy to gain? There isn't money, fame, or fortune, or anything else by being forced to come forward. What it is, it's a lot of ridicule and a lot of negativity that comes raining down on you. Who wants to subject themselves or their family to such a thing? So we need to look at it that way as well. Let's go to Richard. Richard in Tucson, Arizona. Welcome to Coast.
Oh, thank you. My wife and I are longtime insiders. We appreciate what you guys put on.
You're welcome.
I was in on the tail end of MK Ultra in the early and mid '60s. They pretty well were looking for how to build a better soldier or better living through chemistry.
Sure.
They discovered that none of those things could occur, but they could, on an individual basis, tailor us to do certain things that would be considered out of the norm. I never expected to be joined up with groups like that, but that's what happened.
Sure, sure. Richard, did you have a question?
Yeah, just a comment on the people who are commenting. There are so many of us from so many diverse influences that you can't tell, one, by a person's voice or necessarily by what he's saying. And the reason we don't bring it up is because we do are subject to ridicule, and people just don't, they say what you've done is so fantastic.
Right.
It's unbelievable. And I also closed out Project Blue Book from an air base in the middle of Indiana. And we brought all our stuff to Wright Patt Air Force Base, and from there it wound up in some archive somewhere, literally buried. And that's about all I have to say. I mean, my highest rank held in the military was 04, which is a major. I retired as an E5 staff sergeant in permanent grade, because there are extenuating circumstances for all of us and all of that. But I wound up being an intelligence analyst. I worked for other agencies after my military career. I essentially changed suits.
Right, right. Well,
so, you know, people who are criticizing what was broadcast earlier, unless you've been there, you can't know.
No, yeah, and that's exactly.
Thanks for your show.
Yeah, thank you so much. And that is exactly the point. I'm going to go to east of the Rockies, Virginia, in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. Welcome to Coast.
Hi there. Has anyone ever compared the presidential candidates to movie stars? Because every time I hear Donald Trump talk, kind of reminds me of Spencer Tracy in the movie Flim Flam Man.
Okay.
And as a side note, if you ever saw the State Department's response to the poor people in Benghazi in the movie 13 Hours, you'd never vote for Hillary either.
Well, yeah, and yeah, thank you so much. I'm right in the middle. I'm politically agnostic this time around in this election cycle, and I'm going to stick to my guns on that. Let's go to Walt in Pennsylvania and Wildcard. Walt, welcome to Coast to Coast.
Well, hi, Mr. Church. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome, Walt. What's on your mind?
I've developed a personal theory to explain Hillary Clinton's personality. I think that soon after they were married, Bill turned her into a type of, if you recall the film, The Stepford Wives.
I do.
I think he had somebody turn her into a Stepford wife, because no matter how many times he cheats on her, she still grovels at his feet. She seems to prostrate herself before Bill. She clings to his pants.
Okay. Well, there you go. Had to. I have no idea. I'm not a political guy when it comes to this kind of stuff. But thank you for the call. Let's go to James in San Angelo, Texas, on Wildcard. James, welcome to Coast.
Thanks. I was just calling in to talk about your guest tonight. That there's a lot of stuff in his story that doesn't add up, and there's a real easy way that he can prove whether he's telling the truth or not, and he doesn't have to wait for any paperwork, he doesn't have to wait for any clearance, any of that kind of nonsense. Supposedly, he's a genetically altered individual.
Right.
All he has to do is submit to a DNA test, and it'll prove whether he's telling the truth or not.
Yeah, but James, you've missed the point. I mean, who cares? I mean, I
do. If the guy's sitting there telling everybody a bunch of bull, and everyone...
Okay. All right. Enough of that. Let's go to Jay in Floor Home, Florida. Wildcard. Welcome to Coast.
Hey, good morning, Jimmy, Mr. Church. Well, I had several things I wanted to say, but she told me to narrow it down. I just wanted to say real quick, I wanted to kind of put out a shout out and thank the gentleman a week or two ago who shared the magnet exercise for spiritual cleansing. I've done that a few times. It's been amazing.
I've heard this. I've heard this.
I don't know his name or where he lives.
Yeah, I've heard this now a few times this week. A lot of talk about that. I missed the show, but this is about the fifth time I've heard about it. But there you go. Thank you for that.
Oh, really?
Yes.
How else have you heard about it?
I mean, it's been brought up on my show. I've gotten a couple of emails about it. I heard some people talking about it today. So, you know, it's just strange. And then out of synchronicity, I was watching, binge watching Fringe, right? You remember the TV show Fringe?
Yeah, yeah, great show.
Right, great show. And they had a whole section, a whole scene about how we are magnetically held together and how magnets influence our body and influence our emotions and our thought patterns. And
I was just like, remember the name of that episode?
It was season 3, episode 16.
Season 3, episode 16.
It might have been 17, but either 16 or 17. But isn't that bizarre that you bring? I never ignore synchronicities, Jay. Okay, did you have a question really quick before we hit the end?
I kind of have more comments than questions.
Sure.
I just want to say, you know, first of all, you know, I had one of my mom's ex-boyfriends. He was kind of psychotic drill sergeant is the best way I could describe him. Think, I don't know, Arlie Emery in Full Metal Jacket or something like that.
There you go.
And people have suggested how a lot of Stanley Kubrick's movies, actually he was trying to warn us all about the Illuminati. I have a theory recently. I think when it comes to science fiction the most, and horror and fantasy, it is the Illuminati's way. They're either taunting us, they're teasing us, they're warning us, maybe all the above, about what their ultimate goal is or what the future will be or a version of it or what they want it to be.
Interesting.
Especially when it comes to the future.
Well, you're right about that. And there was a lot of different visions that he had. Not only we can look at Full Metal Jacket in 2001, but look at the movie AI, too, and the way that that was done. It seemed like he had a paranormal connection to something, and he also had some serious inside information on something that he tried to project intrinsically, right, in all of his films. And he was trying to say something, and every single film had those messages in it. And I totally agree with you.
I didn't realize he was on AI. I thought that was just Spielberg.
Spielberg, right. Kubrick started the movie. That was going to be his last film, and he was talking to Spielberg about it.
So that came out before Eyes Wide Shut.
That's right. No, he stopped.
Mysteriously.
He stopped production on AI, handed that over to Spielberg so he could finish Eyes Wide Shut.
I see.
That's right. And he told Spielberg about his vision of AI and how he wanted it done. There you go. Okay.
Do we have time for any more?
No, actually, I've got a bunch of calls. I promised everybody I would get them right in tonight. But thank you so much. All right, Jay. Jay in Florida. Let's go to, I'm going to go up to North Idaho. I'm going to go to Russell. Russell, welcome to Coast.
Hi, Jimmy. How you doing?
I'm doing good, Russell. How are you?
Oh, good. Great show and great music.
I think so.
While I was listening to the interview with Captain Kramer, that I had this thought that it's so horrible, the billions of dollars that NASA is spending and the lives lost, the astronauts we've lost, with them pretending that we're like 80 years behind what Captain Kramer has experienced.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree with that. Ben Rich, you know, has been quoted so many times, you know, who ran Skunk Works and his book.
Uh-huh.
He's been quoted so many times as saying, look, whatever you can imagine right now, okay, we're way ahead, and we have the technology to take E.T. home. Right now, a statement like that, what does that tell you? You know, what is really going on? Well, that's why secrets are kept, aren't they?
It's just incredible that the extent that NASA's going through to pretend that we're not there yet. The money and the lives lost and everything is just incredible, that the extent that they would go to pretend that we're not there yet.
Yeah, you're exactly right, Russell. And thank you for the phone call. Okay?
Oh, yeah, thanks for taking my call. And
I absolutely appreciate it. And the point that Russell is making here, and I'm gonna just say this really quick. Do you really want to know what is really out there as far as technology goes? Do you really want to know? You know, I don't think so. I think it's best that sometimes we do have secrets. Let's go to Gene in Fort Smith, Arkansas. Gene, welcome to Coast.
Captain Church.
Oh, Gene, how are you? There you go. How are you, man?
Well, you're doing a great job holding down the helm of the world there.
I do what I can, Gene. It's smoke and mirrors, my friend. How are you?
Well, but anyway, what I'd like to say is that there are many, many, many of us out here that have seen and been places and done things that nobody would believe.
You're absolutely right, Gene. And you know what? You know what's bumming me out right now is your phone is breaking up. So I'm just going to say this. Gene, be safe, and I will see you right here tomorrow night on Coast. And I'm going to go to Shara in Sacramento. I love Gene, by the way. Gene is great, but his phone is breaking up. Hi, Shara. Welcome to Coast.
Hi, thank you. I'm actually formerly of North Hollywood.
Are you really?
I am. And I was calling because, once again, great music. And so many people have been calling, talking about what a great choice in music tonight. And I wanted to run a theory past you that I've been really dwelling on a lot lately. I used to work in the music industry down there. And if you notice, it doesn't matter what generation right now, everyone is just hating the music that's out. It's not just an I'm getting older thing. Music just doesn't seem to have any soul or any passion or any meaning. And it doesn't matter if it's rock or hip hop or, you know, it seems to be.
You know what, though, Shara? You're sounding like your parents.
I know, but here's the funny thing. My mother agrees with me. My friend's daughters that are teenagers are in their 20s now. They're agreeing with me. I'm turning 40 next week, and I can't help but notice that you know, the country right now and the world is in so much turmoil. There's so much problems and economic divide, and everyone's at each other's throats, and so much unhappiness. And I think back to just how much music always saved me.
Yeah.
All my life.
And
how now what do that what kids have to save them? Kanye? You know, come on.
Yeah, yeah. Unfortunately, we always will turn in to our friends and our parents. And I want to thank you for the phone call, though, Shara.
Okay.
Thank you so much. And she brings up a really good point, because if you look back to when, you know, I was a kid and we had things like, you know, Kiss and stuff that in 72, 73, 74, 75, Led Zeppelin, driving our parents crazy, when the truth was they said music has no more soul. And now today, what rocks for us is what drove our parents crazy. It's just the way that it is. And I want to thank Dan. I want to thank Donna, Chris, Lisa, Stephanie, Lex, George, Tom. I want to remind everybody, tomorrow night, Margo Macrias is going to be here, and Lori McDonald. I'm your host, Jimmy Church, and wishing George the best. And go to George Norrie and Friends Living at Large in Asheville, North Carolina. I'll see you guys tomorrow night.